I have the microphone, but I'm not certain you're going to need it with me, given my background. Can you all hear me? Then I would just as soon not deal with it. So I don't have pockets for it anyway, and I'm happy to be here with you today. I actually am a resident of Montana now. I'll tell you a little bit about that, but I go back quite a ways with Rotary because my dad was a Rotarian, and as you heard in the bio, I grew up in upstate New York. And I remember so vividly, actually, my dad leaving for his Rotary meetings in the evenings. And although I don't remember specific conversations, he imbued in me something which stayed with me my whole life and has determined everything I've ever done in my careers, and that was service above self. And now I realize, as I became more familiar with Rotary in later years, where he got that, and what you all stand for, and what you do, and your goals of bringing about understanding, the amazing work that you do with children and for children and on people's behalf. So I'm privileged to be back with you, and I always enjoy talking to Rotarians because you remind me of my dad. All right? Okay. And I appreciate, except you women, of course.
Did you love your dad?
Yes, I did, very, very, very much. And I appreciate the invitation. Susie and I set this up last week, and I've known the Bax family for quite a while. But between the time that you and I set it up, you know, Bin Laden got killed, and then my phone hasn't stopped ringing. You'll hear why shortly. And with texts and facts, I literally had people texting me before the news had really come out and before the president had spoken of Lee, what information do you have? And you have to wonder, what the heck would an actress, author, be getting texts like that about? Well, I'll tell you a little bit about that, but a little bit about my background, as I mentioned, from the small town. But in the 60s, I ended up at Madison, Wisconsin, taking a graduate degree at the time that it was the most violent, hostile campus in the United States. It was a very, very turbulent time. But I've always had an appreciation for education. My dad was an educator. I know there's school board people in here, and superintendents and principals and everything else. And he was, and a great educator. And it was during that time, though, in Madison that I said, I need to do something where I can make a contribution. I'll let you turn that off.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
I just want to know, $1, $2, or $3, your choice.
Three. Wait till you see what I do if somebody talks. All right. Yeah. Please, there's so much going on. Anyway, as she mentioned, I've been in Hollywood a long, long time. And but when I first got started, whoops. I'm telling you, when I first got started, I had the privilege of doing projects that were some big miniseries. My first two out of the gate were a project called Collision Course with Henry Fonda and E.G. Marshall, where that was the conflict between Truman and MacArthur, and I was playing Margaret Truman. And so I got to create a project that influenced and brought about greater understanding for people about their history, what went on there, and so on. And right after that, it was followed by Roots. And I think if you know anything about the history of that, that absolutely transformed the country in many, many ways. So I had a great start and was interested in that. And I could never seem to leave the White House, I guess, because I ended up back in Blind Ambition, which was about the Watergate scandal, playing John Dean's secretary, Jane Thomas. But each of those advanced people's awarenesses and understanding. I was happy with that. Then in the 70s and 80s, I had the privilege of performing in a lot of the great comedies of that time, you know, the Barney Millers and all those types of shows. But in the early 80s, I started a parallel path in business and have run for a very long time a web-based business. I am an entrepreneur, and it's a unique combination of marketing and business and entertainment industry that brought me to my most recent career. But I've always been a believer and a proponent of the free enterprise system, which is not taught in our educational system. And most people don't know really what it is, what it's defined as, or let alone how to participate in it particularly well. And some of you are nodding your heads with that. So I take opportunities that I have to educate in that area as well. But I've also been a very long-term student of the mind and of human behavior. And in 2003, my husband and I fulfilled a lifelong dream of mine. From the time I was three, I was always telling people, I'm going to live in Montana. And I kept telling them that for 50 years, you know, and I don't think anybody took me seriously until we came up here into this beautiful area. And 4 months later, I had retired from acting, sold my home in California, told my agents I was done, transitioned into a new career, and we'd moved to Florida and here, and by 2004, we're year-round. I'm from Eureka. So didn't have too long a drive down here today. And my husband passed away suddenly right around the time that the second book was coming out. I had just finished writing it and ended up writing novels. And at the same time up here, launching Montana Tutoring, which is licensed by Applied Scholastics, which is an international education corporation. And the result of that is an ability to lower turnover for employers and also to handle really terminatedly, if you will, dropouts in schools and so on. So I'm thrusting in multiple directions as I got here. But I met a lot of the people in the Flathead through the book White King and the Doctor, which was referenced. And that was the first book that came out. And both books, they are sequels. It's the White King series. White King and the Doctor, I'll be signing a deal on imminently for a major motion picture. But they're suspense novels based on actual events relevant to the War on Terror. And what had happened for me was after 9/11, have you all noticed that America just seemed to sort of go crazy? Instead of becoming more united, we became progressively more divided. And I was beginning to be agitated enough about that I was concerned of an attacking force inside. You're a Navy SEAL, correct?
No.
All right, so that fellow's not in the room. All right. A fifth column is a force inside a country whose purpose is to break the solidarity of a nation, or the force that's about to be attacked. The other four columns will attack from the outside. And I recognized that America was likely falling victim to a fifth column attack that would be progressively dividing us and undermining our institutions. And for my own peace of mind initially, I just set about to see if I could figure out who was doing it and how. And so I decided to use my acting technology, and I did an acting exercise, since I'd played real people, on the real-life mastermind of Al-Qaeda, and you'll be hearing a lot more about him because my books are about the Egyptian psychiatrist Ayman al-Zawahiri and his crew. But I did the exercise, and when you play real people, you first have to identify what their driving motivation is. And I said, if I can get this man's driving motivation, since he influences all of Al-Qaeda, and they influence the other terror organizations, and all the rest of that bunch is influenced on all of our lives, if I could do that, then I could probably justify what he's done in the past, which is true when you're doing character study and when you're playing people. I could also predict or project what he's likely to do in the future. So I did that for my peace of mind. I started to make some notes that if this is the case, I'll likely see this start to play out in the news. Then those things started to happen. And that's when my life changed. Because I found myself out in front of and approaching the scene through the point of view of the enemy, not through the point of view of the United States. And connecting the dots from the other angle, a very different picture emerged. It's here. You'll recognize it when you read about it and you see it and you come through the mystery of it and you go, oh my, how come I didn't see that? Because your point of view wasn't in that particular direction. Well, once that had happened, I realized that I had to find a way to communicate. You know, you don't just call up the Department of Defense or Homeland Security and say, I think I figured out what the guy is doing. So I decided to tell it in stories. And the first one became White King and the Doctor, and that's the one that's about to go to major motion picture. And the second one is White King Rising. And that's the story of a Trojan horse. Because when I look at what you as an organization do, I think you'll relate to this. As I looked around, and you tell me if I'm wrong, are not all of our institutions under attack? Family unit, religion, education, government, even attacks within military. Every single institution that anchors this country is under attack. And there's an actual Trojan horse that was delivered here. Actually, it was implanted a long time ago by the Soviets. This particular enemy just has figured out how to use it. And the agents of that Trojan horse, if you will, have infiltrated every one of our institutions, bringing it down. So the second novel is about how they're doing in that, more importantly, how we win, how a young generation enables us to turn the tables, if you will. And that's what I've been out and traveling a lot. So I, as much as I love being in Montana all the time, I've been out on the road more than not relevant to this. And with the current events lining up almost... It's eerily close, isn't it, on the bin Laden thing? Too much. That's why I was getting all the texts. So anyway, I now am spending my time, not only with folks like yourself, but with young people. My mission today is to help generations X and Y move from being the trophy generation that Generation Y is called to a hero generation. Now, as we look at that, there's a lot of baby boomers in this room. And then there's some X probably and one or two Y sitting in the room. Well, you got to ask yourself, what is that? Generation X and Y, two unknowns in an algebra equation? What is that? And yet those generations are coming up, getting ready to take the baton, if you will, from us. And when I talk with Generation Y, and I just got back Sunday night from Louisville, Kentucky, where I was with 15,000 Generation Y young people. And I was doing a book signing there, and I had the chance to spend some time with them. But most of them don't know why they're called Generation Y, so I thought I'd enlighten you too. Generation Y is labeled the trophy generation, and that's their main label. They're called a few other things, but mostly the trophy generation. And they perk up when you tell them. That kind of sounds good, except it's not. It's a degrading term. It's in reference to the fact that this group of young people that are coming out of high school today, that are in college and coming out of college today, are viewed as a group of people who cannot handle failure, cannot handle loss, cannot handle defeat, cannot handle disappointment, and therefore are given trophies just for showing up. And when I point that out to them, there's two things that happen. Some of them will look at it like you did, sir, and they kind of nod and go, yeah, that's right, that is. Now, that's not who they believe they are, but they realize that is how their generation is viewed. Others of them will ridge up and they'll see a flash of anger, and at that point I know we got some hope. Because they are like we were at that time, but they're what I call dumbed down and drugged up. You know, they've had forces working on them. They need to have that pointed out. And the message I have for them is, that's how you're viewed, but that's not how I view you. I believe in this young generation. And I believe that when they are made aware and understanding comes up on the history of the United States, where it fits in the history of the world, where we fit in the history of our current times, and the importance of what we're doing, and how important they are and each generation is with what they bring to the table, that they will be able to take that baton and step up to it. And I can give you some good news in case you're worried about that generation. Yeah, they have their issues. But every single one of them are willing, that I've talked to, are willing to look at that area, and they do want to do well. Young people want to do well. They want to live their lives well. Anything I can do to help them, I will with that. My goal is to inspire them, organize them, energize them so they start to get engaged and get committed, and that they realize they have a stake in this game, because these are very, very dangerous times for the young people in this country. Given the Trojan horse that is laid out in White King Rising, the primary assault line will be coming through education at them, through medicine at them, and I wasn't joking when I said dumbed down and drugged up. And they somehow are aware they're living in a very dangerous world. And in the 7 years I've been here, in this sector of Montana, I have seen that enemy come in and attack here. You can all talk to me later about that if you want to. But there's elements and things happening here that weren't happening here in 2000 and 2003, particularly the drug scene and a whole host of other things that you're now probably having to encounter. But, you know, the word in Chinese, the word crisis, as an interesting interpretation, it's opportunity riding a dangerous wind. And we're in crisis times in a lot of areas, in our culture, in our society, but there's opportunity there for all of us, certainly with the work that you do, because as you look at it, as the young people waken up and they encounter folks like yourself with a message of service above self, the humanitarian works, all the things that you do, but also founded on an understanding of country, a love of country, and so on, as they begin to embrace some of that, they're going to carry forward with their own unique gifts and talents that they do bring to the table with this. And I believe that they can turn from the trophy generation to a hero generation. We're due for one. We're going to need a heroic generation going forward, from here forward. And I think those at my age understand that. And if you've ever questioned, are they ready? Could they possibly take the baton? No, not at this moment. And that's why I'm out there all the time talking with them, encouraging you all. And the message through the books, through fiction, conveys, thank goodness. I had to do it in fiction, because some facts you can't just actually lay out there as a fact. But in a fictitious story, person can look at a scene and get the concept of it, and they begin to fill in the rest of the story for themselves, and they can face things that they couldn't have faced before. And so the young people relate to the message, they're empowered by it, and they go forward. And as they come to me, I'm going to send them out in your directions for the various areas that they can contribute in. And then I'm going to continue on my way. I've ended up myself, not knowing I was going to, in the middle of Homeland Security debate, national security debates, all kinds of things. The books are unbelievably accurate. And it's not about data and facts. It's about the truth of how we're being taken down from within, who's complicit in the United States, how it is that you can't seem to get a message across very easily because there's a force in between you and the public you may want to communicate with, and how to reverse all of that. But I've gotten tremendous support that began here in the Flathead. I wrote the book, had a book signing, and it was shortly after that first book signing when the first readers read it, they started getting it into some hands of some counterterrorism people here, some military people here, some intelligence people here, and although at the time I expected a pushback maybe from them, quite the opposite happened. The actual reality is now they go, how on earth could you possibly know this? Were you in a cave, or were you in that compound with bin Laden? How could you know what you know? So much so that they cannot tell the difference between the fact and the fiction. So I'll challenge you to that. If you can figure it out, that's fine. But that's led me into a very interesting path. But my message is about the young people of this country and folks like yourself and myself. We're out there in the areas that we serve in to raise people up. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, and I like to speak in front of youth groups, anytime, any age, any ethnicity, because when I'm with them, I think that I can help them see some things they didn't see before. And as they come up, I think you're going to find that you're going to be joined by a very vibrant, brilliant young group of people once they realize that they, like you and like me, have a responsibility to this country. They have a responsibility on a lot of fronts, and there's a lot to be reversed. Anyway, I appreciate the time with you. I've left a little bit of time, I think, for if there's any questions or anything, maybe 5 minutes or so. But yeah. Yeah.
This past weekend, I went and saw the movie Atlas Shrugged.
Yes.
I'm curious if you've seen it and what your opinion is. I'm sure you've read the book.
I haven't seen it yet. I've been traveling. I'm very familiar with Ayn Rand. Some people are always kind of referring to me as a 21st century Ayn Rand. And I don't mind that label. When I was a teenager, I was reading Ayn Rand. And I do plan to see it. There's no question that if we don't identify the underlying truths that are part of White King and the Doctor and White King Rising, we will be in an Atlas Shrugged situation. And if we do not bring up that generation to fill in that slot, there's only so much that can be born. And when there's nobody to take responsibility, it's just sometimes easier to say, give it up. And the enemy's counting on that, by the way. The main warfare is psychological. Primary attack line is economic and all this. We're in an economic war more than anything else. But there is a psychological mind control going on within the United States, implemented from outside the United States. And that would have bearing on what she's talking about, because all you have to do is persuade Atlas to shrug. Game over. Yeah. Yeah.
How did you go about doing your research for the books? I mean, if everybody's saying they're so accurate, how did you know?
Well, understand that I am a professional actress who has played real people. It is a very precise training and discipline, and I'm really good at what I do. And I exercise imagination. The United States was accused of lacking imagination in the months and years prior to 9/11. People from writing backgrounds, directing, acting backgrounds will bring imagination. But the research that I did was on Ayman al-Zawahiri himself for the reasons that I said. But I also approached it inductively rather than deductively. There's billions of pieces of data out there, and you don't know what's true or not true. And how to organize and sort and filter through that, I mean, people would be at that for centuries, and the enemy will have won by then. I took the other direction, and with inductive reasoning, you simply advance a theory, and you move forward on the data that you have researched. If it holds true, you keep advancing forward. If it doesn't hold true, you got to back up, you broaden your database, and you launch again. Fortunately or unfortunately, my initial theory held true. I have not had to rewrite any section of either one of the books, and I was out in front all the time. You'll see it. When you read White King and the Doctor, because it came out in 2005, you'll realize, didn't this all happen? I mean, when you read it, you'll go, didn't this all happen? Because it will seem so real to you, including the hide in plain sight strategy that apparently was deployed there in Pakistan, and the likely care of bin Laden over the last few years. So, yeah.
I haven't read both your books. I highly recommend them to everybody here. It will raise the hair on the back of your neck if you read those books.
Thank you. Yeah, they're an enlightenment, aren't they? Yeah, but there's a solution to them. We can win. But it is a wake-up call. I think I'm the only one in the country addressing the issues that I'm addressing. And I think that's why I'm getting the phone calls now. There's a particular attack line, and I'm not hearing anybody else talking about that attack line. Would you agree? And so that's why I'm out there. Okay. Anything else? All right. Well, it's been a pleasure being with you guys.